Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight we have a very special guest. His name is Kenneth Hamilton. He plays the piano, or we might call him a pianist, I guess, if you were going to say that. And he's not from Rhode Island. He's not from Massachusetts or Connecticut. As a matter of fact, he's from across the pond, as we say. Kenneth, welcome to Conducting Conversations.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And Kenneth comes to us by our old friend Joe Perillo, the jazz artist, the jazz pianist that has his own show on WCRI on Friday nights. And Joe called me up and said, I've got this guy. You've got to get him on the air. He's a great talent. So at this point, we're taking Joe's word for it.
Well, Joe's always somebody who ought to be believed. But I'm as surprised to be here as you are, Mike, because I was actually here in Rhode Island on holiday, and I handed a copy of my latest CD to Joe. And he said, gosh, Mike's going to have to see something about this, you know, so that's why I'm here.
Well, that's great. And from Scotland, correct?
Yes, correct. From Glasgow, as it happens, west coast of Scotland.
West coast of Scotland, that's where all the beautiful people are.
Of course, all the talented people are on the west coast. And in the east coast, it's cold and windy, and nothing much good has ever come from the east coast of Scotland.
Oh, all right, I'll have friends that'll have something to say about that. But we actually have quite a few listeners in Scotland, so if you're one of them, that would be great if you want to send an email and comment on this show and tell us if Kenneth is really who he says he is, because I have no idea. I mean, this could be, you know, recordings that you got from someone else that you brought to us.
That's very true. You have a suspicious mind, Mike, but I ought to say, if there are lots of listeners from Scotland, I'd like to apologize now for my comments about the east coast of Scotland, which were unfounded and unfair.
All right. Now, your background, did you start playing instruments when you were very young?
Not very young. I suppose I was actually relatively late, about 10 or 11, that I just started playing the piano because my grandmother happened to have got a piano and she lived opposite us. And I suppose I took to it fairly quickly. And by a few years later, I was playing Beethoven concertos and things like that. So, I mean, I suppose it's a fish to water sort of thing. But I've always actually just loved music and loved communicating. And I suppose I loved music as a child before I even played the piano.
Now, you're one of the lucky people, I guess, like I am. You found something in your life that you wanted to do, and it became the way to make a living. And
yeah, it's much better than working, as you know. So, yes, and I suppose we are extremely lucky because, you know, our passion, if you like, is what we also make money out of. And when I always think about it, that maybe 80% of people are doing things quite reasonably to make a living, but they don't enjoy it. And when they come back home, maybe they watch a theater show or they put on some music or they read a book or whatever. But we are lucky to actually have in our lives the things that people do for fun is what we do most of the time.
Absolutely. And you're not just playing, but you're also, you do a little teaching?
Less and less, actually. I'm head of the School of Music at Cardiff University in Wales, which usually involves actually more playing and traveling around the world and doing things. So I give some piano master classes, but that's mostly it. Oh, and I teach about Wagner. I do one class voluntarily about the operas of Richard Wagner because I'm a huge Wagner fan and I regard myself as passing down the wonders of Wagner to the next generation.
All right. Well, I think we've got a little bit about your background. We're going to get a little bit more, but I want to get to some music. You brought a CD with you, and it's a brand new CD. I mean, when I say brand new, it's not even been released yet. Is that correct?
It's going to be correct. Yes, it's going to be released in a few weeks' time, and it was an advanced copy, a couple of advanced copies I had, and I said I gave one to Joe Perillo, really just as a little gift. And before I knew it, here I was talking in front of you, Mike, through the magic of Joe Perillo, and I ought to say, I mean, Joe was in Cardiff just a few months ago and gave an absolutely beautiful concert, a wonderful concert. So I'd given him the CD as partly as a little quid pro quo. And I'm delighted that you in Rhode Island actually are going to be the first people to hear a bit of this CD.
All right. And around the world, you'll get to hear we're going to start with a Scottish ballad. Is what the title says. Tell us about it.
Yeah, these are three pieces.
Track two, I guess it is.
Exactly. Now, all this music was either composed or arranged by actually my old teacher, a very famous Scottish composer called Ronald Stevenson, who died last year in his 80s. And Ronald was a remarkable chap. Knew everybody who was everybody in the world of music. Was a wonderful pianist himself, and a remarkably talented composer. Very well known in Scotland and Britain and elsewhere. And Ronald's output ranged massively from very modern pieces to pieces that we will hear later in the show that are effectively transfigured cocktail music. Ronald loved show tunes and all sorts of things like this. And he was born at a time in music. He was born in the 1920s when contemporary music was becoming a bit like a sort of horror film soundtrack. It was getting nastier and nastier. And Ronald never really liked this, although some of his pieces are in the modern style. So he had this sort of wonderfully Catholic with a small c idea of music, and he was of Scottish ancestry and moved to Scotland in the 1950s and began to write all these Scottish based pieces. Now, what we're going to hear, the first Scottish ballad, is actually effectively a variation setting of a traditional Scottish tune. And Lord Randall is a poem basically about a guy who goes hunting and is poisoned by his girlfriend. There's one sort of standard factor in all Scottish ballads, that lots of people get killed almost all the time. In fact, I'm amazed there are any people left in Scotland when you consider medieval Scottish ballads. So poor old Lord Randall goes out hunting and, is given a little bit of wine by his girlfriend in the middle of the hunting, and comes back and tells his mother that he basically ain't feeling too well, and he dies. And at the end of the piece, you hear the sort of collapse of the music, and then Ronald added this sort of little coda with a pizzicato at the end where he just drops down dead. That isn't in the original thing, but Ronald just wanted to illustrate it a bit. And when I play this live, I usually sort of play this in the left hand of the piano, and then I just sort of sink back into the piano keyboard it's a corny effect, but it usually works. To give the audience a visual impression of what's going on here.
All right, you'll have to use your imagination.
Thank you.
The Amazing Piano of Kenneth Hamilton. And Kenneth, on the CD, it says tracks 2 to 4 are kind of related, 3 Scottish ballads. We just listened to Lord Randall. What's the second one we're about to hear?
Yeah, the second one is a slow ballad, although it's also about people killing each other. So I think they're just killing each other in slow motion this time. So unlike Lord Randall, it's basically about a guy who gets killed by his wife's brothers. And you will notice a subtle difference here, because in Lord Randall, it's actually his girlfriend that kills him. So although we're maybe not so varied in theme in the Scottish Borders, we actually try to kill people in various different ways for some interest, you know.
Get
so
creative.
Indeed, yeah. We're creative in that sense. Yeah. We're bloodthirsty, but creative. So this one is actually a rather lovely slow number, a sort of meditative number, if you like, that was again set by Ronald in variation form. So each different statement of the theme, you'll hear it done slightly differently, including one with a harp in the middle and then one in combination, you know, like a canon, like different voices mm-hmm. overlapping. And it ends not dramatically like Lord Randall, but in a quiet and sort of contemplative fashion. So it's the same sort of topic, but just done in a different style.
Kenneth, we're going to try to squeeze one more in before we take our first commercial break. And this is titled New Haven in the title. Now, that a lot of people around here would think of New Haven, Connecticut, but that's probably not about that.
No, it's that New Haven. It's about 2,000 miles away, New Haven in Scotland. And this is really what it just says. It says on the packet, so a New Haven's Fishwife's Cry. So a very jolly ballad with some sort of interesting harmonic effects that Ronald Stevenson added at the beginning. And, you know, Ronald and his wife Marjorie, they loved each other very much, but they had at times what one might call a combative relationship. And Ronald dedicated the New Haven's Fishwife's Cry to Marjorie herself.
All right, we will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Kenneth Hamilton. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, my special guest is Kenneth Hamilton, and we've been listening to a CD that he has brought with him, a brand new CD, not even released yet, so we're scooping the music world, and I know I'm going to have, you know, producers and people calling me from Hollywood trying to get a hold of this, but Kenneth was gracious enough to let us get the scoop. And he's here on holiday, as I say, and a musician that has worked all around the world and continues to do so. And Kenneth, I noticed off air we mentioned that we have slightly different accents. And yours is just a little, doesn't sound like a good Rhode Island accent, like, hey, how you doing? You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
And so I also noticed that you say the word ballad.
Ballad, yes.
Instead of ballad.
Yes. I suppose so. I suppose that's the sort of French way, but you could. I suppose you can do it both. I mean, what I like about this show, Mike, is that nobody need spend much time working out which one is me and which one is you.
they get it right off the bat.
It's pretty obvious. I remember doing something years ago for the BBC, and we had an American guy like you being sort of broadcast in. We had me in the studio in London, and there was somebody from Poland. It was Christian Zimmerman, and I stupidly and naively asked the sound engineering guy how the audience would could know which one was which. And he looked at me as if it was mad, and he said, believe you me, they'll know.
Well, now, is you said that the three pieces we just listened to, two were rather slow, and the third one was kind of peppy. Now, to us in America, a lot of people think of a ballad as being the slow. You can have a peppy ballad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the slow, I think that sense of a sort of, you know, slow ballad is quite recent, actually. It's like The Last Dance or whatever, mm-hmm. something slow in a show. But a ballad can be anything. It was basically a narrative poem. A ballad was a narrative poem. And these Scots ballads are basically music to narrative poems. So things are going on. And the narrative can be about anything. As it happens, as we mentioned, most of the time it's about murdering people. But it could really be about anything. And so a ballad is simply a story. And all of this music tells a story. And, you know, I hope that the audience can actually hear some sort of story there, even though they maybe don't know exactly what it is.
Absolutely. And music is great in doing that, and your music is a great example of that. We're going to move on now to a little bit longer piece that is a song for, I'll let you talk about it. A song for Hugh MacDonald. I'm looking. See, I got to put my glasses on. Hugh
McDermott.
Okay, well, it's not spelled McDermott. That's why.
It is spelled McDermott. Yeah, it's McDermott. That's how you pronounce it. It's because, Mike, you're not used to pronouncing Scottish words. But I promise you that's how you spell McDermott. I thought for a horrible minute that I was going to have to phone and shout at the guy who did the CD cover, you know.
But you spelled it wrong.
That's Hugh McDermott was perhaps the most famous Scottish 20th century poet. I mean, Robert Burns is
the... I knew that. I was testing to see if you...
I had a feeling you were putting me on the spot here, Mike, but congratulations, you passed with flying colors.
Okay, all right. So this song is about him.
Well, it was commissioned by the BBC from Ronald Stevenson for Hugh McDermott's 75th birthday in the 1960s. And it happened that Hugh McDermott and Ronald Stevenson lived very close to each other, in neighbouring villages, although they hadn't known each other until they both happened to be coming back from Edinburgh on the same bus one night in the late 1950s. And McDermott was sitting in the back of the bus and had an argument with his wife and was so furious with his wife that he stormed to the front of the bus and sat down next to this guy who turned out to be Ronald Stevenson, and they both got talking, and one discovered that the other was a composer, and the other discovered that the other was a poet, and that they shared lots of interests, and they lived only 8 miles away from each other, and so a big friendship ensued. So naturally enough, when McDermott was 75 and everybody in Britain was celebrating his birthday, the BBC turned to Ronald to write a celebratory piece of piano music, and this heroic song for Hugh McDermott is exactly that. And it's not published in the score, but Ronald told me, I studied all these pieces with Ronald myself when I was a student, and he said that the piece is divided into three sections called The Poet Speaks, The Poet Laughs, and The Poet Dreams. And you can hear at the opening a sort of Scotch mist effect, which the audience can't see it, obviously, but if you saw this piece live, you have to put your whole left arm silently on the white keys of the keyboard to lift up the dampers, and so that when you play the melody in the right hand, all these sympathetic vibrations of the unplayed strings mm-hmm. suddenly ring. And so this sort of misty effect in the background, this like an Aeolian harp, is created by that. And the piece begins like that, and it ends like that. And each of the middle sections is really Hugh McDermott in different moods.
All right, well, we will listen to that in its entirety, then take another short break and be back with more of Kenneth Hamilton. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Kenneth Hamilton, listening to a CD that he provided for us of great music. And one of the things that we've talked about is, obviously, he's from Scotland, and we've been talking about the difference in the accents and so forth. Kenneth, is there a difference in the kind of music people like to listen to? Have you noticed that as you traveled to the United States? Because I have not traveled to Scotland. I've been to England, but never been to Scotland. Is there a difference in what people like, or is it mixed just like it is here?
I think it's probably a mix. I mean, there'll be different balances. Obviously, what we've been hearing a lot of is such sort of Scottish music, and you can hear the sort of Scottish elements, the Scottish snaps and various things.
Right.
But Western music culture, especially now, is very homogenized. We're tending to listen to the same sorts of things with different emphases. And even when you go to China now and things like that, an awful lot of the Chinese music is sounding like Western music with Chinese characteristics, like they say about the political system, you know. So we're all becoming sort of one big world. But it seems to me with music, quite honestly, Mike, that there's really two things. Is it interesting or is it boring? Mm-hmm. And if it's interesting mm-hmm. music and communicates something, says something to you, it doesn't really matter what culture it's from, but then it's communicating emotionally, and that's what music should be doing.
Right, and we're obviously here on the classical station, we tend to play a lot of classical music, obviously, and this next piece is going to kind of segue to that, right?
Yes, this next piece actually is the only piece on the CD that is not either written or transcribed by Ronald Stevenson. It's actually by Rachmaninoff, by Sergei Rachmaninoff. And it's a transcription of one of Rachmaninoff's own songs by himself, by the composer, called Lilacs, a very beautiful song. It's just very short. And the reason I included it in the CD was the following track is a transcription by Ronald Stevenson of Ivor Novello's famous song, We'll Gather Lilacs. And Ronald is a sort of little musical joke, a little piece of witticism, used the figuration from the Rachmaninoff Lilacs piece because of the common titles Lilacs in the novello transcription. So it was a sort of little sort of musical smile, if you like. And in order to make it obvious to listeners, I thought, well, why not just put in the Rachmaninoff piece? It's a beautiful piece. So what we'll hear first is the Rachmaninoff Lilacs. Thank you.
beautiful music indeed by Rachmaninoff, and for all of people, I'm sure a lot of them recognize that. And now we're going to go something that they may not recognize, right?
Yeah, except they maybe recognize the tune, because what Ronald Stevenson did was he took that figuration that you heard at the beginning of the Rachmaninoff Lilacs piece, da 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 dee da dum ba da da, that really sort of rather beautiful lilting arpeggiated effect. And because the Ivor Novello piece, We'll Gather Lilacs in the Springtime, was really about lilacs, it sort of occurred to him, it tickled him to actually transcribe the Novello in combination, if you like, with the Rachmaninoff figuration. So anybody that knows this, and of course all the listeners know it now because we've just played it, should be slightly tickled by the idea that you're hearing a little conflation here of Rachmaninoff and Novello and Stevenson. And of course the Novello's a beautiful tune as well. I found it utterly exquisite. And I remember when I was recording this, especially when the big tune comes in, you know, I was finding it so moving that I nearly couldn't record it. You know, so you have to control yourself, Mike. So I controlled myself and we got it on a take.
All right, we'll control ourselves as we listen.
Thank you.
It is beautiful music, and you talked about getting emotionally involved. And I know that as a singer, I listen to the lyric of the song sometimes and get emotionally involved in whatever message we might be trying to convey. And it's interesting because I don't think of instrumentalists having that same connection sometimes because there's no words to explain. But as you know, the background of whatever piece you're performing or just the music itself affects you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why we're musicians after all. And, you know, in the 18th century, hundreds of years ago, Bach's son, C.P. Bach, famously said, you know, you cannot hope to move people unless you yourself are moved. That was one of his first rules for keyboard players. And the only thing I would say is that we have to feel the music, but we can't be too moved at that point. Just like if you were so moved by your own singing that you couldn't sing anymore, then right. It wouldn't work. So we have to retain the emotional effect of the music while also retaining control of the physical means to actually play it. So I might want to be in floods of tears at something, but I can't afford to be. But unless if we lose this sense of actual emotional touch with the music, then we cease to be artists, we cease to be players, or you cease to be a good singer.
Right. Yeah, it's a very important part of it, and control is sometimes difficult. So that's an interesting aspect. You know, we've listened to a CD that Kenneth has provided for us. And the title is called Kenneth Hamilton Plays Ronald Stevenson, Volume 1. So now that leads me to believe that there may be something down the road.
Yeah, there's going to be at least another two volumes. And in fact, I'm really a sort of, you know, very dilatory person. So one, I basically put Volume 1 there so that I had to at least record Volume 2, you know, which so forcing myself, committing myself. So you're quite right. But yes, there's going to be at least another two volumes which are already mapped out. But my next CD coming out actually just after this one, which has already been recorded, is actually pieces by Bach, romantic pieces by Bach, transcribed by Liszt and Rachmaninoff and things like that. And then there'll be some Chopin and Liszt, and then there will be Ronald Stevenson Volume 2. So what I'm doing, Mike, is trying to force myself into activity.
There you go. All right. Well, we look forward to that. And obviously, when they're done, you've got to come back and do another show.
Now that we know each other, I'll be hying my way with great rapidity to your studio, Mike.
Okay. And if listeners would like to get information about you, is there a website
yes.
that they can go to?
Yes, there is actually. In fact, all they have to do actually, if you just put it in Google Kenneth Hamilton piano, you will actually just get me and find all sorts of things. There's also Justin Bieber's bodyguard is also called Kenneth Hamilton. So
You're not the same guy?
No, I'm not the same guy. I'm much more slightly built, as you can see. And in fact, though, I do a concert in Singapore a couple of years ago, and there was genuine confusion because Justin Bieber was giving a concert in the same place, you know, just a couple of days after me. Plus, his bodyguard had just been arrested in New York for punching a photographer. So there are all these headlines in Singapore saying Kenneth Hamilton arrested in New York, and people were phoning me up saying, is this concert still on, or are you in jail in New York?
Well, there you go. Well, stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
But if you'd like information about Kenneth, you can do that just by Googling his name, Kenneth Hamilton Piano, and you can find out about his recordings. Can they buy the recording? Is this going to be released in the U.S.?
Yes, I see you've got an advanced copy, but yes, it's going to be. And in fact, the distributor, I think, is going to be Naxos Distribution. It's not a Naxos label recording, but it will be distributed, I think, by Naxos in the U.S. in September, along with the next recording. Yeah, so yes, it's available here.
Okay, great. Well, I have to thank you so much for coming in, and really,
it's been a pleasure.
Thank Joe Perillo for hooking us up and making the connection, and him knowing me and knowing you obviously knew that it would be something I'd be very interested in. Thank you for the beautiful music, and thanks for sharing with us. We have one more piece to go out with. And tell us what this is going to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you can imagine, you know, Ronald Stevenson really loved show music. I mean, he loved all the sorts of music that he heard in the 1930s and 40s as a child or a young man. And this last piece is an arrangement of Richard Tauber's really beautiful song, My Heart and I, done in a slightly modern fashion, but then with a surprise at the end, because it starts off like as if you're playing it to yourself late at night in a darkened room, just very meditative and contemplative. And then suddenly, towards the end, it changes utterly into a Viennese waltz and ends with a sort of rather extrovert bang.
All right. We will listen to that, and then we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.